You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 28th of February 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I thought today we would continue looking at migration. We covered yesterday the issue with protests, where people are protesting against illegal immigrants being housed in hotels, and that's happening in Britain, and that's also happening in Ireland. And we've also talked about Rishi Sunak's fast track scheme in order to get the number of illegal immigrants down. He's going to basically give 12,000 of them permission to stay in the country as refugees without even giving them a face-to-face interview. And today I want to talk about what Germany is doing. Germany, as we know, is having big problems with fuel bills at the moment. They've got lots of problems with manufacturing and with the economy because it is costing so much for electricity and for gas, because they got rather a lot of their gas from Russia, which now has sanctions against it. And of course, the Nord Stream pipeline, both of the Nord Stream pipelines were sabotaged. So you would think that Germany is having a bit of a problem at the moment with paying its bills, but that is not stopping Germany from calling for even more migrants to come into the country. And of course, remember, a million turned up when Mama Merkel opened up the borders and said that she would welcome in Syrian migrants. Well, the German government has announced a new migration scheme in Africa to recruit supposedly qualified migrants to do jobs in Germany, despite its Turkish guest worker program being a historic disaster, because, of course, Germany has done this before. They did this after the war. And we'll get into the details of that, of why that isn't such a good idea, and why that didn't turn out very well in a minute. German Employment Minister Hubertus Heil and Development Minister Svenja Schulze, who are both members of the leftist Social Democrats, the SPD, announced the programme while on a visit to Ghana, adding that similar programmes would be set up in other African countries. And if you have a look at what the average IQ is in Ghana, it's 73. It's a good 30 points lower than the average North European IQ. So if what they are saying here is what they're going to be doing, they're going to be recruiting qualified migrants to do jobs in Germany, that means they're going to be taking away the most intelligent people in that country. When you look at average IQ, and you say, well, they have an average IQ of 73, that doesn't just mean that most people there have an IQ of 73. It means that there will be a number of people that have an IQ of 100 and maybe higher. But it will be a very, very small portion of people. It really won't be that many people that have an IQ of over 100. And if Germany then poaches those people, those Ghanaians, to come and work in Germany, then they're not going to be in Ghana helping to build Ghana up, helping to make Ghana into a country that the Ghanaese wish to stay in. I mean, this is one of the problems that is the reason why a lot of these African countries are not up to Western standards, and why the Africans want to leave there and come to Europe, because all the brightest and the best of the Africans have all left that country, and there's nobody there to build the country up. So this is not going to be any good for Ghana, and it's not going to be any good for Germany either, because it means that they're not training up the Germans to do these jobs. They're trying to get in labour from elsewhere, which they can get to do the jobs much cheaper. Qualified employees are a way of guaranteeing our standard of living into the future, Minister Heil claimed according to a report by European Union-funded website Info Migrants. Now, this is bizarre. So they're saying that by importing black Africans into the country, they're going to guarantee their standard of living into the future. But if you look at the standard of living in Africa, it's much lower than it is in Germany. So you would think that if you were going to import the same people into your country that built Africa, that that's not going to be a way of guaranteeing your standard of living, is it? It means that your country is gradually going to go to the standard of living that it is in Africa. Of course, that may not happen if all they do is bring in these highly qualified people. But what we've seen happening in the past is that it's not just highly qualified people that are coming into the country. As I mentioned, you had Frau Merkel just opening up the borders and welcoming in 1,000 Syrians, and Syrians, or the people who were claiming to be Syrians, we don't know that all of them are Syrians because they threw their documents away. But the Syrians have an average IQ of 80. And we can look at how Syria is and say, well, again, that is another country that is not up to Western standards. If you import these people into your country, who have a different way and a different culture, and we can see from their own countries the way that they do things is different to the way that we do things here in the West, then it's just going to gradually make your country more and more like their country, the more of them there are in your country. I'm sure Germany must be at least 20% non-German that are living there. I know it's the replacement of the European ethnicity in Germany is much higher, going at a much faster rate than the replacement of the European ethnicity in Britain. We need to be alert to the possibilities of finding qualified personnel both within our country and without, he continued, adding, if it is managed in the right way, migration can be an enormous potential for developing our economy in the countries we work with, as well as in our own country. And that's just not true, is it? If they bring all the brightest and most intelligent and most highly qualified people over from Ghana, there's going to be nobody left in Ghana to develop their economy. Their economy is going to go down because all the best and the brightest have been poached. So that is not true. So they're saying here, but if it's managed in the right way, well, if it's managed in the right way, what is he meaning there? That they don't take too many people from Africa. But if what he's saying is true, then there's not going to be enough people in Germany to do the work. The solution to this is to train up Germans and get Germans to be qualified to do the jobs. I mean, the Germans are going to be the ones that want to do their best for Germany, aren't they? The Ghanaese are going to be want to doing what is best for the Ghanaians, aren't they? They're not going to want to be doing what they're doing out of the kindness of their heart just because they want to help Germany out. They want to help their own people out, or you would hope that they wanted to help their own people out. And this is the other issue, because when you do employ people from these other countries, as well as the brain drain that goes on from that country, the money that the people earn in your country, a lot of that gets siphoned off and sent back to the original country. So it may mean that the original country has a little bit more money there. Ghana might have a little bit more money, but it's not going to have the skill set in the country to help build the country up and make it self-sufficient. On top of that, previous experiments with using mass migration to beat supposed labour shortages have been a disaster in Germany, with hundreds of thousands of Turkish guest workers who began to be imported from the 1960s integrating poorly, so that as of 2017, some 3 million Turks in Germany actually had a collective unemployment rate three times higher than the national average, according to Reuters. And there is also this idea that when you import immigrants from other countries and they adjust to being in your country, they then identify as being a part of your ethnicity. And this isn't true either, because if we look at the Turks that are in Germany, we can see that Erdogan went on a big push to try and get the Turks in Germany to support Turkey, basically. The last time there was a Turkish election, Erdogan wanted to go and speak in Holland to all the Turks that were in Holland, because he saw these Turks that had moved to Germany and got German passports and moved to Holland and got Dutch passports. He still saw them as being Turkish. And I make a safe bet that they still saw themselves as being Turkish too, because they would be taking their identity from their ancestry rather than taking their identity from the country that they just happen to be living in at the moment. That's not to say that these people don't like the countries that they're living in. It's just that their primary allegiance is going to be to their extended family rather than a primary allegiance being to the people that are running the country that they happen to be living in. Well, as I say here, it's Reuters that has pointed this out, that 3 million Turks had a collective unemployment rate three times higher than the national average. And the article that's being referred to here actually comes from 2017. It says, in the 1960s, hundreds of thousands of Turkish men were invited in to fill labour shortages, but Germany made no attempt to help them learn the language or upgrade the skills. So this was the problem here. Germany didn't give them free tuition and lessons. Germany didn't give them a free place at the university. Well, how about Germany tried to actually teach its own German people how to do these skills rather than doing it for these Turks? So what they're saying is that Germany was at fault here because Germany did not give free university places and free language lessons to the people that they imported. Reuters says the result is that 3 million Turks in Germany are still struggling today. They are the least integrated minority, with an unemployment rate of about 16%, almost three times the national average. So they're struggling, and it's Germany's fault for not educating them. You could say it's Germany's fault for not making sure that the people that they imported could actually speak German and that they were qualified. I mean, you could lay that at the feet of Germany, but to say that it's Germany's fault that they have this high unemployment rate because Germany didn't give them free university places, I think that's a little bit insulting there, blaming the Germans for that. When the first Turkish guest workers arrived in the 1960s, German politicians, still preoccupied with rebuilding the economy after World War II, regarded them as a temporary measure, and the perception was that the Turks were guests who would go back home. And then Reuters says, the Turks, of course, did not go home. As if that's just accepted, and why should they want to go back home? Well, they were guest workers. If you have a guest at your house for a party, you expect them to go home afterwards, don't you? It was the same in Britain. The British people expected that the immigrants that were brought over after the war, when their job placings finished, that they would actually go home. But then there was this big propaganda campaign saying that they should be staying here and they should be treated the same as anybody else. And we did away with this term, the British subject, and we brought in this term, British citizen. And we made these people into citizens, and then we get to today and we have all this propaganda about this wonderful Windrush generation that came and helped to rebuild Britain. And there is some truth to the fact that the British people did want people to come over and rebuild the country. And I'm sad to say that, but basically what happened after the war, the British looked over at Germany and they saw that the Germans were getting in these Turks to rebuild their country. And then they looked at Britain and they said, well, we're rebuilding our country. We just won this war. We shouldn't be rebuilding our country after we won the war. It's the Germans that should be rebuilding our country. And in the absence of being able to get Germans to rebuild the country, we thought, well, we'll get people in from the Commonwealth to do it. But whatever happens, we shouldn't be doing it because we just won the war. And that was generally the attitude. And if people don't believe me that that was the attitude, then they can go and listen to an eyewitness at the time that we interviewed, who is called Mr. I. If you look on Radio Albion, if you look on the British history section, we've got a series of interviews with Mr. I talking about when immigration started after the war years. And that was really the reason why it happened. The British people did not think that they should be rebuilding the country. They thought that it was beneath them because they had just won a war. So it was accepted that these people were coming over, but the British people thought that they were going to go back home afterwards, just the same as the German people thought that they were going to go back home afterwards. Reuters says here, the Turks, of course, did not go home. I don't know why they put this "of course" there. I mean, what are the reasons being given for why they did not go home? It says their wives and children began following them. just as the oil crisis of the early 1970s pushed Germany into a recession that cost many guest workers their jobs. Well, you would think that if that happened and they lost their jobs, that they would then go back to Turkey. But of course, the Germans were extremely generous and the Germans gave them welfare benefits so that they could stay in Germany, which of course I'm sure must have upset the German people to see that this money was just going out to these guest workers who had homes, a home country that they could go back to. But they didn't go there. They and their wives and their children followed them. This is the other issue with immigration. Because we have this human rights law and because you have a right to a family, if a country in the West gives somebody citizenship, then they are then entitled to invite their family to come over. We talked about this a little bit with Rishi Sunak's fast tracking of these asylum applications. All of those asylum applications, once they're granted, it means that the people who have then got the status of refugee can also invite all their family to then come into the country. As you see here, you've got all these dependents, wives, children, and plus you've got the head of the family isn't working anyway. So all of these benefits are just being siphoned out of the country to look after these people that haven't actually paid in. Reuters continues, with low skills and little grasp of the language, many found it hard to find work again as Germany shifted away from industry towards automation and services. So again, they're just blaming Germany. Germany didn't upskill these people. Germany didn't teach them how to speak the German language. Germany didn't provide interpreters for them. So it's Germany's fault that they have three times the unemployment rate as the Germans. And of course, the fear is a similar thing is going to happen with these Ghanaese people that they import. And of course, Germany is also saying it's not just going to be done in Ghana, it's also going to be done in other African countries. 1 month after Angela Merkel's decision to open Germany's borders to refugees fleeing war and persecution, Chancellor Angela Merkel told Parliament in September 2015 that Germany should learn from its mistakes with the Turkish guest workers and seek to integrate asylum seekers from day one. What does she mean by integrate them? Well, since then, her government has focused on language and vocational training to help 1.2 million asylum seekers get into a manpower-hungry labour market and wean them off of Germany's generous welfare system. So they basically put lots of resources into helping these refugees, these asylum seekers, again, who are not really asylum seekers because they've travelled through all these safe countries to actually get to Germany. I don't think Austria is a war zone, and you really should actually claim asylum in the first safe country that you get to, because otherwise what you're basically saying is more important than getting to a safe country is getting to a country of my choice that has higher living standards. So we had all these resources that were going into helping the Syrian refugees to get into the work market. As it says here, this Reuters article was very proud of this. They thought this was going to be a fantastic idea. Under legislation approved in August 2016, integration courses, including language learning, were made mandatory for all refugees and asylum seekers from countries such as Syria, Eritrea, and Afghanistan. The way they put this, they say it was made mandatory as if they were forced to do this, but effectively they're helping these refugees out. They're helping them to become dual lingual, helping them to understand German so that they can go out and get these German jobs. I guess Germans just must not want to actually work for their country, and they must just prefer it that they bring in people from Syria, Eritrea, and Afghanistan to do these jobs. Of course, this was back in 2016. All these resources, as you say, were put into doing this. Back there in 2016, they said, well, this is the problem with the Turkish immigration. We didn't give them free university courses. We didn't give them free language courses. So if we give university courses and free language courses to all of these asylum seekers, then they'll be able to integrate. So we can move forward to 2021. And we find there, Syrians are the main beneficiaries of refugee protection in Germany, yet many are still forced to rely on state welfare to survive. New figures show that only around 35% of Syrians of working age are able to make a living. So I guess when we looked at the Turks, it said that They were three times more likely to be unemployed, and I think it was about 15% of them. So what we see here is, even with the language training, even with the all this work at integrating them and all this resources put into that, six times as many of them are unemployed now as the Germans. So only a third, more than that, actually, only a third are able to work. So it's even more than that, isn't it? It's 70% of these Syrians are on an unemployment benefit. I mean, I'm no good at maths, but that is probably 10, 20 times as many unemployed as the German unemployment rate. And that's with all these free university courses and all this language training and all these resources put into integrating these Syrians, all of this wonderful work at integrating them in 2016 that was going to be this big success, 5 years later, and it's been no success at all. And then we move to 2023, and they're now talking about doing the same thing again, but importing people from Ghana this time, with an average IQ 7 points lower than the average IQ in Syria and Turkey. After a decade of conflict in Syria, it seems unlikely that the refugees who fled abroad will be able to return home soon. So I get why, I don't know. I mean, there isn't any war in Syria anymore, and Bashar al-Assad wants these people to go back there and help rebuild the country. But at least they're actually implying a reason here for why the Syrians aren't going back home. I mean, they haven't given any reason for why the Turks didn't go back home afterwards. In Germany, where a large proportion of Syrian refugees have applied for protection, many have found it hard to make a living. Official unemployment figures show that nearly two-thirds of Syrians who are able to work actually rely either entirely or partially on receiving public benefits. And remember, this is after all the language lessons, after all the university places that were given to them. This means that Syrians are much more likely than other migrant groups to be receiving Hartz IV benefits, as they are known in Germany. Only about 37% of migrants from Somalia and 44% of Afghans are on welfare, according to statistics from the Federal Employment Agency. So it's been a huge success for the Somalians and the Afghans, only 40% average of them on unemployment. And of course, when we look at what they were doing in 2016, it was Afghanistan, it was Eritrea, which is fairly similar to Somalia, that were being given all these courses, that were being given all these language courses. So they're effectively saying that this hasn't worked. They're admitting that it hasn't worked, but they're not pointing that out. They're not pointing out that this hasn't actually been a success at all. And yet we've still got these left-wing parties, we've still got the SPD that are now wanting to do the same with Ghanaians. The figures from the Federal Employment Agency show that we still have a lot to do in the area of integration. German interior spokesperson for the CDU-CSU parliamentary group, Matthias Middelberg, told the DPA news agency. So it's still down to Germany to do something about this. It's still down to Germany. I guess all these university courses that they've been on, all the German language courses that they've been on, they just haven't been good enough. I mean, what else can they do to help these refugees out? Talking about integration here, and what they mean by that is getting them to work, I guess. Things do seem to be moving in a positive direction for the Syrians, however. The proportion receiving state benefits is lower than last year. In March 2020, it was close to 70%. So it's gone down to 68% now, so that, I guess that's a huge success for them. Since then, many have got jobs as doctors. According to the German Medical Association, Syrians now make up the largest group among foreign doctors, with 4,970 employed throughout the country last year. So does that make up for the fact that 70% of them are unemployed just because you got 5,000 people working as doctors? I mean, they tell us that they're doctors and scientists and lawyers and teachers and all these really intelligent people that are coming over on these boats. But if that was true, then 70% of them wouldn't be unemployed 5 years later after being given free university courses and free language courses, would they? One reason given for the relatively high proportion of Syrians receiving benefits, according to a study done by the Employment Agency last year, is that refugees often lack documents with formal qualifications and are employed in areas with pay in the lower pay range. Well, yeah, but if they're lacking documents, that doesn't matter, does it? Because they've been given free university courses for the last 5 years. So they're still making these excuses here that, well, the Syrians just had to throw away their documents. And I guess these free university courses that they went on, they must have just failed at that and not actually got the qualifications. So they're working in the lower pay range. And yet we're being told that these people are a great help to our countries. They're a big boost to our countries. They bring vibrancy. They're going to save the economy. And yet in actual fact, 70% of them are unemployed. So from what I can see, they're just a drain on the economy, aren't they? I mean, obviously the 5,000 doctors aren't. I mean, that's useful. But again, that's 5,000 doctors that aren't there in Syria. And the Syrian people need doctors. I mean, just look at what's happening over there now with this earthquake. The original influx of Turks into Germany also added previously unknown cultural issues into the social mix, such as clashes between ethnic Turks and ethnic Kurds on German streets, with the army having to be called in to control them in 2015. Because this is the other problem that you have when you import people from other countries outside of Europe. A lot of them have issues with the nearby countries. I mean, what you've got here, you've got Turks fighting with Kurds. The Kurds want to have Kurdistan. At the moment, you have Kurds living in Iraq, living in Syria. You have some of them working in Turkey, and they're all effectively a fifth column within the countries that they're in, because they should really have been given a country to themselves, but they don't have this country. So they end up being a fifth column within the countries that they're in, and you end up with strife between these different groups, basically. You end up with strife between the Turks and the Kurds in Turkey, the Syrians and the Kurds in Syria, and now you get this same issue on the German streets. I mean, we also have countries in Africa that are at war with one another and they fight against one another in the streets of the countries that they're in. So you're also importing all these cultural issues, and you're importing all these blood feuds, centuries-long feuds that there are between these different peoples, and they can end up playing out on the British streets. This is before you even get into the current issues that there are between Palestinians and Israelis. And of course, we have issues between Palestinians and Jews and people that support Palestinians and Jews. And this is why a lot of people in the civic nationalist scene, you know, they will show their support for Israel because they see the Palestinians as Muslims, and because Israel is taking a stand against Muslims as they see it, they should be supported. And it's basically all sorts of problems that we've imported into our countries that we never had before that are now there simply because of immigration. As it says here, it got so bad in Germany in 2015 that the army had to be brought in. I mean, there's also gangsters and gangs. We've talked about the gangs in Sweden, these gangs that are all fronted in Sweden by people that are not ethnically Swedish. And I think the second largest gang in Germany is a Turkish gang. I think they're called the Grey Wolves or something like that. They may even be the largest gang that there is in Germany. And a lot of the organized crime is done by these Turks over there. So you've got that problem that is imported as well. Healthcare is said to be one of the sectors being focused on as part of the African Migration Employment Programme, although the World Health Organization has reportedly claimed that Ghana in particular has its own shortage of qualified professionals in the medical field. So Western countries plundering it for skilled health workers is morally questionable. And that's the point that I was bringing up earlier about this brain drain that you get. And Germany is specifically talking about doctors that they need. And it's a shortage of doctors that Ghana has. As I say, you can find that in every African country, because they are each only going to have a very small proportion of people that are able to actually do the job of doctor, because their average IQ is 30 points lower than the average IQ in Europe, Northern Europe, rather. I mean, it's not to say that they don't have some highly intelligent people among them. It's just that it's going to be a much smaller percentage of the population that are highly intelligent than would be if their average IQ was 30 points higher. So if you're going to be taking people from Ghana that have this very high IQ, it means that there's just going to be people left there that aren't skilled enough. to do this these sorts of important jobs, such as being a doctor. Nevertheless, the leftist government in Germany and other officials are insisting on more immigration, with chairman of the German board of the Federal Employment Agency, Detlef Scheel, claiming in 2021 that the country needed at least 400,000 new migrants per year in order to make up for labour shortfalls. So pretty much 500,000 people they need for labour shortfalls, and yet Germany's got a problem at the moment with getting enough gas and getting enough electric. From nursing to air conditioning technicians to logisticians and academics, there will be a shortage of skilled workers everywhere, Scheel said, claiming that you can stand up and say, we don't want foreigners, but that doesn't work. So we'll look at the people that they're calling for here. Technicians, academics, you know, the very people that are going to be in short supply in the African countries that Germany is doing this to. German Economy and Climate Protection Minister Robert Habeck made similar comments last year, saying Germany has 300,000 job openings today and that Germans should expect that to climb to 1 million and more. Well, why don't they try training the Germans? Why don't they try getting the people that are already there to be qualified enough to do these jobs rather than importing other groups? Because what we can see here from the importation of Turks, three times as many of them are unemployed as Germans, and we can see that the Germans then had to try to get these Turks, give them language courses, give them free university courses, and that still didn't solve the problem. Then they imported lots of Syrians. Syrians have a very similar IQ to the Turks. They gave them free university courses, they gave them free language courses, and 70% of them are now unemployed. So now they're going to go back for a third round, and they're going to import people from Africa with an average IQ of 70, another 10 points lower, and they seem to think that the same problem is not going to happen again, although it's already happened twice. Germany has already seen huge influxes of illegal immigrants, asylum seekers, and refugees in recent years, particularly from Syria, the wider Middle East, and Africa, who even more than the Turkish guest workers and their descendants are overwhelmingly not supporting themselves, never mind increasing German productivity. I mean, it's the definition of madness, isn't it, to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get a different result. But that, sadly, is what Germany is doing. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.